Hey, Eric Bischoff here, and if you're looking for the inside scoop, all of the information, look no further than the Ringside Podcast.
You're listening to the Ringside Podcast.
Still sitting at ringside.
The show that brings you all that is pro wrestling, news, interviews, and opinions.
Oops, I'm breaking the fourth wall.
With Daniel Spencer.
The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Jeremy Wallman.
I'm the best in the world at what I do.
And Justin Kruger.
Your arms are just too short to box with God.
And now, let's ring the bell and start the show.
Welcome to the Ringside Podcast. I'm Daniel Spencer.
I'm Jeremy Wallman.
We got a special guest host today, since JK can't be here. Jeremy, who do we got here?
Thank God he wasn't able to make it here today, but we have the doctor, Ted McNaylor. I can't say enough good things about him. I can't say enough bad things about you. So it's an even tilt today.
The man beast.
Yeah.
So very honored to be here. I mean, I'm no JK, but Dr. MB is in the house. And
yes.
I'm very honored and privileged to be part of this special edition of the Ringside Podcast.
Thank you for classing up the joint a little bit. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. I try.
Real quick, why was the crouton embarrassed?
Oh, I don't know.
Because he saw the salad dressing. Boom!
Yes.
He had that one in his chamber ready to go.
Shout out to my niece Allison from Indianapolis, Indiana for that one. I mean, she inspired me. She didn't give it to me.
She inspired
Wonderful.
Me. Wonderful, wonderful. Yeah, so, you know, this is your third time on the show. We had you on as a guest, and then you filled in or helped, or we did correspondent when it comes to the OEW Combine a few weeks ago.
That's right.
And so now, third time on, so you just kind of get this regular rotation going. We kind of did the same thing with Randall Floyd. Maybe we'll just kick Randall out and bring in Manbees all the time.
I'm going to let you stumble over your own words there. You get chewed out for that. I welcome anybody that makes this couch better.
Yeah, and let's not start to stir things up between me and Randall. I'm not trying to start a fight with the real deal here.
No.
He tries to start stuff with everybody. It's every week.
But I will say there's somebody out there who's bringing challenges onto you.
Ooh.
Who's been on the show before, and that's KTD.
Oh.
He thinks,
may not have came to the right house the first time, but he's been on the show before.
He's been on the show, and he claims that he can outdo you in I guess dad jokes. Is that what we want to call them, or puns and jokes?
Humor, buddy.
So we're gonna have this. We're gonna have this.
Don't label us.
Well, he labels them dad jokes, even though he's not a dad.
Okay,
but I think we can do this. Maybe we'll do a battle sometime and then do this whole...
I mean, if KTD wants to get slaughtered, then, I mean, I'm more than willing to bring the proverbial butcher's knife and show him what I can do.
Well, since we're talking about OVW television this week, me and Man Beast here, we had somebody on the loose this week in OVW television, and they knocked me and you both out. So Justin Smooth, the OVW heavyweight champion... He's on a rampage, and
half of that made me happy.
Well, it was a chaotic ending. So those of you who have seen it, I don't know what's going to happen. As this airs, it'll probably hopefully we'll see on TV this week. But man, he tried to come into the ring in the middle of a match, knocked me out, and the next thing I know, I heard it, but then I go watch it back later. You know, after he hit the women. Manbees came out there to save it. He got hit, and then Ashcraft
that would have been my "This is awesome"
Gilbert.
Moment of the week. You getting hit?
Well,
but if y'all don't catch it on TV, they can always catch it on the OVW Network. Correct?
Exactly, the OVWWrestlingNetwork.com. You have to go there. It's only $4.99, and you get every show OVW has to produce right now. All the SNSs, right? And the SNSs are on there too.
Yep, absolutely.
SNSs, all the weekly TV shows, and then other content too as well, being added more and more.
That's awesome.
To the network, including, I think a rumor is, some kind of a Ringside Podcast show coming soon. So
be able I to hate when you tease it. Things that you don't discuss with me.
We've had this discussion.
I know. It makes it better, though, when I act like you don't. You never tell me anything.
Yeah, well, Okay. Kayfabe, brother. So, all right. So, the OVW Television has been stepping it up. And, of course, I know me and we're all biased to it a little bit just for the fact that we're involved in it some way, shape, or form, and we're sure. in this area. But honestly, though, if you look at it from compared to a year ago, it's on new levels. And kudos to Al and the writing staff of what they've been doing and turning everything around. It's been amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think I could speak on this objectively because I'm not a staple like the doctor here, and I'm not in the business like Daniel is, but as a fan, the OVW is the hottest thing going on right now. I mean, anybody would be silly to try to say OVW is going, because nobody can go blow for blow with WWE. They're this monster conglomerate. That's just like with me with my sports website. I feel like I got the best sports website in Louisville. I'll never compete with Card Chronicle. Mike Rutherford is multifaceted media. I can't. But OVW, to step back for a second, OVW is the hottest thing going on right now. It has been for the last year. If you keep up with wrestling at all, you have seen how this has just gotten better week after week after week after week. And it's just, as a wrestling fan in Louisville, I've grown up since the Jerry Lawler Channel 3 days and the USWA Tuesday nights at the Gardens. This is the best time in wrestling for Louisville since then. It's been awesome.
And speaking of that, good transition, because there's been a lot of buzz in this area here lately. And I think on the local news, I have a feeling it's going to end up being in the national scene pretty quickly. And that's just what happened in New Albany, Indiana, a couple weeks ago when they had I don't even want to name the promotion. I'm not even going to do that. But it's basically with a promotion that pretty much had nothing but death matches and all throughout the whole show. And it caused a lot of issues, a lot of I don't know if somebody was complaining about seeing a lot of blood or getting blood on them or whatever happened, but they're encouraging everyone that went to the show or part of the show to get tested for HIV and Hep C, which you should do that anyways.
Right.
I mean, periodically do that, especially if you're in some kind of a sporting event or in some kind of athletic event where you could result in something like that. But yeah, so it's caused a lot of buzz and wondering about what's going on. Why is this happening? Which, in this area, you have in the state of Kentucky. We've talked about it before on this show. There's a commission. There is a boxing and wrestling commission who I guess oversees or polices a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that they're going through. And I know maybe you can talk a little more about it. But a lot of that doesn't happen without the proper approval, the proper going through all the different things, checklist or whatnot. And not that there's anything wrong with those type of matches, but there's a way of doing it. I mean, there was a reason why the WWE didn't come here for so many years, because for TV at least,
yeah.
because they were afraid that because of the commission was so strict on a blood plus policy, they were afraid that what if something happened in the middle of their pay-per-view or live TV that the state would make them stop,
right?
Shows.
Well, it's my understanding actually the WWE prior to their return had gotten apparently some big fines from the commission,
uh-huh.
and that was part of the reasoning that they weren't around for a while is because
yeah.
they essentially broke a bunch of rules that they were otherwise not being compliant to,
right?
And then there was a bit of time. Now, some of the regulations have changed. You actually can bleed in Kentucky if you get the proper blood work done ahead of time. So, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's definitely more reasonable. I think there's a time and place where that is okay. But, number one, it should be by trained professionals, first and foremost.
Yep.
And two, all the precautions should be taken to make sure that no bloodborne pathogens are causing anyone to get any hepatitis or HIV or any of those illnesses.
Right. And there's things about that can, in just a regular wrestling match, I've been refereeing and all of a sudden somebody gets busted open and you're like, oh, and you're kind of, helping making sure they're okay. The main thing is the safety of the, there's a lot of the safety of the crowd too, but the main thing is the safety of the performer.
Right.
Is to make sure they're okay, they're who their opponent is okay, they can still go on. Because you never know when you're dealing with something like that, there's a death match and you have, there is blood going to happen, where the blood's coming from can affect how they react and what they're doing and if they're woozy and if they can go on and have the match and if it's safe for them and their opponent. So That's a lot of things going in. That's why, like you said, a trained professional needs to know what they're doing and handle that.
That's my problem with the whole situation. I know a lot. My dad's side of the family is from southern to central to southern Indiana. It seems like everybody and their mom's got a wrestling promotion up there. You have to be professional no matter what you do in life. Be professional. If you're taking care of what you're supposed to take care of, that don't happen. And those people, and like you said, we're not going to even dignify saying the name because that'll just give them publicity or whatever the case may be. But if you're going to throw on an event, make sure everybody's taken care of. I mean, that's common sense.
Yeah.
And, I've got a stupid cousin that even knows that. Yeah. Shout out, Keith. He listens
to the show.
And
you want to make it a good event. You don't want to make the event very rotten. But you want to make it a good event.
God.
That's the thing, though. That's the
so subtle there, Danielle.
but honestly, though, that's when you do stuff like that, too. You've got to do it the right way. And one of the things that I do love about the commission can be annoying. I mean, being involved, I get it. But there's a reason why they're there. They're put in place to help. And I know the commission was created years ago because of stuff like this was too crazy and they had to go in and do this. And I think the state of Indiana is probably going to look into it and do something. They're going to respond.
Right.
And, I've heard a lot of people say it's going to ruin wrestling in Indiana. It's not going to ruin it. It's not going to ruin wrestling in Indiana at all. It's going to help it. And it's going to get a lot of because there's a lot of crap in Indiana.
Came right out and said it. I felt that way about my family a long time, but you just came out and said it.
If you are a Hoosier, please send all of your hate mail to Daniel Spencer. You can find him on Facebook.
But no, there's a lot of crap shows in Indiana and run by.
Well, that's what I was saying earlier. Everybody's got a promotion.
Well,
but they're also good ones. Let's not.
There's a lot of good ones.
There's a lot of good ones.
I mean, I've worked for a couple of them. So they're all there's
of
a
the
lot
crap ones or the good ones.
The good ones.
I thought you were going to say both.
There's a lot of no. But there's a lot of there's a lot of bad apples in that bunch, and having some kind of a regulation would eliminate a lot of that and weed those out, which is a good for the state of Indiana, good for wrestling in that area, and good for this whole area period because me and Ted being an OVW is that we don't we're getting categorized into this. I don't know how many people reach out to me and said, "Were you at the show?" Like, no, I wasn't at the show. People that don't watch wrestling because they know it's in the area. I'm a referee. I'm reffing, so I might be possibly in that show or be a part of that. And tell me about this. Like, it has nothing to do with what I do and what I get involved with. I would never work for someone who's complacent like that.
I haven't seen anybody mix. I mean, myself, I've not seen anybody mix up OVW in this situation. But you have a lot of your friends are on a different IQ level than the people I talk to. So,
well, it's the
no. All jokes aside, though. But thankfully, I've not seen that. And I've got a huge reach on social media. So
it's the general wrestling fan. Not even the general wrestling fan. It's the fan that just sees wrestling and thinks, oh, wait a minute. That I just saw this on the news. Now I'm watching WBNT. Oh, is that the same guy, WBNA?
No, you're right. I could see my dad calling me. I mean, my dad was at the very first OVW shows over in Indiana. He took us as kids. And I could see him calling me tomorrow, seeing that on the Facebook timeline. Like, hey, is this over here in OVW? So I could see that. Maybe an older fan as well.
And that's why I'm glad,
I have ripped on everybody in my family today. I might as well just go out in a blaze of glory.
That's why I'm glad Gladiator Sports co-partner Chad Miller, who's been on the show a couple times before, announced, hey, this is not us. This is not it. We want to help regulate and do things. But, he wanted to make there's a difference between what they're doing and what we do.
And if I want to speak on that for a minute, I know as a member of OVW management, we've been getting a lot of mail. A lot of people are feeling like this is a personal attack from OVW on trying to get stuff shut down so that we can, monopolize the area. And that could be not further from the truth.
Right.
One of our wrestlers happened to be on said show, and the concern was people were going to associate OVW with this deathmatch wrestling and with, stuff that isn't necessarily, very regulated and, mm-hmm. and professional and the type of product that we want to put on. So that was the big thing, is we wanted to let people know that this is not OVW, for one, and number two, that we do think there should be more regulation in the state of Indiana. Now, some people feel like, again, that's trying to shut other places down. No, we want them to step up. Really, if you, the rules aren't that hard to follow.
Right.
I mean, you just got to follow them.
Right.
So that is not the thing that OVW is trying to do at all. We're just trying to make sure everyone has a safe place to wrestle, and that no one, you know, ends up in the emergency room. And from what I understand, one of the professionals on that, or professionals, one of the people on that show, I can't say he's professional because I don't think he finished training, but someone ended up in the emergency room that night.
Yeah, wow.
And so that's, you know, and not anything we want to happen to anybody.
No,
I didn't know that. I didn't know that y'all had somebody on that card. I can see why that might be confusing to the untrained
fan. That was one of the main reasons why.
But again, I swear on everything, I haven't seen anybody, out of all the followers I have on social media, I've not seen anybody even connect OVW to that. So, I mean, that's a good thing,
I guess. It could easily happen, and it's not, and especially when you're trying, where, you know, we talked about earlier about the whole stepping up. I mean, there's a, mm-hmm. OVW had a certain area or spot in this community, you know, 15 years ago, and they slowly got away. Just because of the way the wrestling has changed. And trying to go back into that, making it, hey, we've always been here. We're here in the community, and trying to get, and, you know, this whole, it looks like, oh, well, wait a minute, but this is going on. And the person don't watch wrestling doesn't realize there's two different things. They see it as wrestling's wrestling. You know, they don't think there's different organizations. But, you know, not to name names, but me and Ted, I mean, we have friends that are in Indiana running promotions, doing things too, that. You know, we definitely want them to succeed and keep going on. So it's not that we're trying to, you know, get it where they get shut down, because they have a good thing going, and we support and hope they do well. So, but anyways, we wanted to address that at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
And talk about that a little bit. And yes, I'm sure you're going to hear more and more about it, because I have a feeling, like I said, it's not going to go away until something, the state of Indiana, to put some kind of regulations on wrestling. And that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's
absolutely
a good thing. All right, so on to...
Sound like DDP right there.
It was a little DDP. It was a little DDP.
If you listen to enough of our stuff, you'll notice that Daniel's 1% original and 99% everybody else.
Well, if you ever hear the liner that he says...
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Bang.
Shout out to DDP.
To be the man, you got to beat the man. I mean...
Yeah, absolutely.
We all know that you're the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
I am. Yeah, or the best in the world, either way. All right,
stop.
All right, this show is awesome.
We could do this all day.
We could.
We could. We're all wrestling aficionados. I was going to say nerds, but aficionados is much less offensive. And aficionados would apply to us. Nerd would apply to you.
So. Yeah, well, ringside rocks. So he's done. Every show I always get him to quit, but he comes back. I don't know what happened.
Well, you offer me triple the amount of money I'm making, so I come back in.
Zero times three.
You triple my raise. So.
Instead of times two, I zero times three. There
Thank
you, go.
You sir. I'm very fortunate. I'm back.
So speaking of things, let's go ahead and give a shout out to our sponsor, Collar and Elbow. If you go to collarandelbowbrand.com and use promo code RINGSIDE, you save 10%, and you help support the Ringside Podcast out, and you're going to get great wrestling apparel. There is right now with coming up this summer, and also being that we have 4th of July and the thing, there's an awesome shirts out, the merchandise out there as 4th of July base, not and camel base too, for to support the military. So go out to collarandelbowbrand.com, use promo code RINGSIDE, and you save 10%. And like I said, you have the Ringside Podcast out in the works. So awesome.
And if you ask him nicely, he'll pay another Daniel will pay another 10%.
That is not true. Why do you keep bringing that up every time?
I'm trying to get a sales, brother.
Oh, brother, I don't need to pay the additional 10%.
Hate mail is any publicity is good publicity.
Oh, well.
See, people think we hate each other, but that's not true. He doesn't hate me at all.
Oh, wow. All right. So, awesome things, like I said, going on at OVW, but let's talk about some stuff in the news in the national scene of wrestling. As we have, you know, this whole, Big announcement that was done by the WWE this week. Actually, Sports Illustrated broke it, and WWE backed it up with their press release. And that is Raw and SmackDown are going to be handled, going to have a...
Produced.
But it's like a director of production is the terminology they named, and they just created this position. Paul Heyman is going to be running Raw as director of production or director of production or producing or whatever, and then Eric Bischoff has that same role on SmackDown. Now they it says that they report directly to Vince McMahon, so to me I'm like, does that mean they're running these shows completely? Let's hope. Let's see. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think it's nothing but a good thing, especially considering, in my opinion, I don't think WWE is capturing and captivating their fans mm-hmm. as well as perhaps they had in the past.
Right.
I think they might be getting away from some of the things that really made fans invest in the stories and the action that they were trying to get across on television. And so I think bringing in a couple people who had their own successful promotions as well as had their own successful runs in the WWE and know wrestling inside and out and can offer a different perspective on things. Mm-hmm. I think that's nothing but good for them. And I really hope that we'll see some, really captivating and engaging stories come out of this.
For me, it's just like the good doctor said, it's complacency. WWE has been in a decade, maybe even longer, of complacency. For those that don't know, complacency is when you're satisfied by not doing anything.
Okay, yeah.
So, and I wouldn't direct that at you. I know you know a couple words. I was talking just that's a word. When my football coach explained that to us in college, I'd never heard the word before. He's like, y'all are complacent out here, and that means you're satisfied when you ain't doing bleep. Okay, all right, cool. I get it now. But that's what they've been. They've let's just put something on. We've got the market cornered. The big dollars, the ad dollars are coming to us. It don't matter. Well, here's the thing, and I'm not saying that they have a true competitor now, but wrestling as a whole is starting to pick up. It's mm-hmm. You have your ups and down times. Every promotion has. It's at a boom right now. Everything's good. Ring of Honor's been good. Lucha Underground was on fire before it just mysteriously dropped off the face of this earth. OVW has been great for about I've loved them my whole life. But again, like I said, you have your ups and downs. For me, the down part of OVW is when they hired Ricky Chevy to come in and do some shows. Was an awful time.
That might have been
the worst time in wrestling at any promotion ever. No, yeah. But everything is good, really good right now. NXT a lot of the times blows the main shows out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
AEW as well.
AEW, they've had a couple of shows. I really liked, what was the one they just had? Double or Nothing. I really liked Double or Nothing.
Well, they just had one last night as we were recording this. So.
Yeah, well, I mean,
I can't remember the name of it, but it was some show.
Fighter Fest.
Yeah, okay.
It was decent, but like, I can't call something competition after two shows. I've had people, after that first show, they're like, this is the greatest thing ever. I love it. And I'm like, well, there was a lot of Double and there was a lot of Nothing in this show. I mean, it was aptly named. But they're trying. That's the thing. They're trying. So at that point, WWE had to do something. They had to do something in hiring two of the most controversial names in wrestling. The only thing they could have done that would have been crazier than hiring Heyman and Bischoff is if they would have went and got Cornette and Russo to run the brands.
That would have been an interesting challenge.
I'm with him. I think it's a good thing. I did see here recently that Fox had no ideas that they were planning on putting Bischoff on at the helm of SmackDown. They would rather it been the other way around. So I don't know, since this hasn't been publicly addressed on TV yet, maybe they'll switch it because
no, Fox, no, no, no. Here, I mean, here's
what we don't know, but I like it.
I haven't heard that at all about Fox being upset.
It just came out like late last night.
Is that a Meltzer report?
No, that's a Wahman report.
Okay, well, did you get it from Meltzer?
No, I didn't.
Okay, all right. Paul Koch. All right, so shout out to the Levesque. All right, so
I was talking about Heyman. I don't know Paul
Levesque. Oh, okay, I gotcha. There's too many Pauls out there. All right, so Paul White, we have them all. So as far as
Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer, yeah. So as far as this whole, I don't really think it's oh no, it's because of AEW. That's why they did it. I don't really think that's it. I think it's because of Fox.
Why
they did it. And another thing called the XFL we're kind of forgetting about, because Vince is supposedly completely stepping away for WWE and going straight into the XFL because last time he didn't step away. He bought WCW. This was going on.
Yeah.
He didn't leave, and that's why it failed. There was other things probably why it failed, but that he wasn't hands-on.
I was actually a fan of the first XFL.
I love the XFL. I do, too. So, and I think the XFL is going to succeed because they're doing it right. He spent 2 years planning it, and we'll have to see the product too. Don't get me wrong.
Correct.
But I do think he's going to be more hands-on this time in the XFL than the NSWB, and so this is a way for him to kind of step back. Why not give it to Paul Levesque and put him in that position? Well, he's running NXT, and so that's probably his thing. Even though it's still Dunn, Levesque, and McMahon. But McMahon's obviously the final decision. So if they report directly to Vince, I'm assuming they also report directly to Paul and directly to Kevin Dunn.
Right.
But as far as this, I believe that this was done for Fox, and I do think that this was a smart move to put, in my opinion, Bischoff in the SmackDown row instead of the Raw row. And the reason being is because Bischoff knows TV better than Paul Heyman. Now, Paul Heyman knows how to write and wrestling. Don't get me wrong.
Bischoff also knows Monday nights better than Heyman does, though.
Well, no, but Bischoff knows how to. Since he's been out of the business, he's constantly been an executive producer for many, many shows.
That's true.
He's got many shows launched on TV. He's dealing with network executives and all these different people. So that's more of his role to handle someone like Fox.
And remember as well, before there was SmackDown, there was Thunder.
Yeah,
and he was one of the first people to bring on the secondary show.
Well, he did, and he was of course you hear him Ted Turner just ever doing it. He didn't want to do it, but he did it, and that's in his Thunder is what caused him to have SmackDown.
Right,
Thunder brought SmackDown, so SmackDown would have never existed if it wasn't for him running Thunder. And Thunder was a good show for a while until but Nitro was a good show for a while until things happened or whatever. Right. So, the good thing about this is that. Is it going to be true control, or is it still going to be Vince just shutting down all the ideas? Because that's why Brian James left.
Yeah.
That's why he stopped. That's why he couldn't do it. Every time he would go, nothing would get approved. And, he tried to make it different. I did see an interview with Eric Bischoff talking about the brand split originally in some kind of a podcast or something, where he basically said, in order for it to truly, and we've talked about this on this show, in order for it the brand split to truly be successful, you've got to make the two shows different. And he says there's nothing wrong with making Raw like all looking perfect and making SmackDown maybe or a little grainy or vice versa.
Right. Because
grainy's okay. It doesn't have to look perfect.
Well, you don't want to look the same either, because then it looks like you're watching the same thing.
It does. And right now, the only thing I really – with the wild card thing, the only thing that makes me realize what's different, because the set's pretty similar – the only thing that makes me see it's different is when they get in the ring, the ropes are red and the ropes are blue.
Yeah.
Other than that, everything looks to be exactly the same. The storylines go back and forth. They're on each show now. There's not really a brand exclusive split.
I'm not a huge fan of the wild card rule. I thought I would like it at first, but there's been some weeks when there's been eight people from SmackDown on Raw. There's only supposed to be, what, four?
Well, when you make the rule, you can
break absolutely, the rule. But, absolutely. I'm no Vince,
but also yes, it needs to be more consistent on that. But I think if he's in charge completely, I have a feeling SmackDown will look completely different. Because now here's the thing: remember when Heyman was charged of SmackDown before? SmackDown was killing Raw.
Yeah, that's true.
They looked different. It was better production. I mean, you had Edge and Undertaker, Eddie Guerrero. Why
Fox wants him over Bischoff. I mean, we just don't know. I have actually though changed my mind on the 48-11 European Championship TV title. I like that now.
It's great.
It's awesome.
Yeah, the European title's awesome.
I'm sorry, I said the 48. I meant the 48-14.
48-14.
48-14.
All right, 48-14. Okay. I like that.
But I didn't mean to interrupt you this time. But that's what we were talking about earlier. Just getting different types of content out there is awesome. We miss the comedy skits from back in the days. We miss the serious storylines from back in the days. All that stuff, it just seems like, to me, and I love wrestling. Don't get me wrong. I love the actual matches and stuff, but you got to have stuff in there to accentuate it and to make it pop. And that's been missing for a while. It's not popped in a long time for me.
Well, here's the thing that wrestling. Here's the thing that TV is for. Free television, as we call it,
right.
As the Raw and SmackDown, OVW's Wednesday nights, well, Saturday morning shows, Impact's show on Pursuit, all these different the TV shows you have, ROH, the TV shows are there as a commercial, an hour long, 2 hour yeah. long,
you're right.
Raw, 3 hour long, oh, Lord help us, commercial to advertise the live event or the pay-per-view, mm-hmm. which just gives you the matches. Years ago, it worked. The formula was a lot better for WWF is because they would have an hour-long show. They would promote whatever. You never seen the star on TV unless they were cutting a promo. Sometimes you might see them do a match, but it was always a promo or always leading up or showing a highlight.
It was a quick match.
Or a very quick match. And then what happened? They're going to be at so-and-so this Saturday night. They're down the street from us. Let's go. You go to the show. You get your four-hour show there live. I may be over-exaggerating. You get your two-and-a-half-hour show live. You get to see your star there for 20 minutes. You get there. Mm-hmm. You buy the ticket. You're buying the merch. You're doing all this stuff. That is where or the pay-per-view. You go to order this $60 pay-per-view to do this, to watch this big event they're having every time. OVW does. We advertise the TV show. We advertise. We're giving you the commercial. Saturday Night Special this month. This is what you're going to see. You go to the show, you're going to see full wrestling. You're not going to just see 2 minute, 3 minute, 4 minute matches. You're going to, you know, that's the whole concept of what TV is for. It's right. a commercial for what you're selling.
I still wish they would cut the amount of pay-per-views down. I think that it rushed for me. Having a pay-per-view every month means that when I start watching Raw at the beginning of the month, there's no slow build. It's all, hey, I hate you all of a sudden. Let's fight. Cage match to the death. And then February comes, and it's the same thing over and over again. I didn't appreciate it enough growing up, but having that one pay-per-view every 3 months, God, it made every feud. You knew sometimes there were going to be some feuds that didn't make it all the way there, but yeah. You really enjoyed every – there were times when they were introducing a new wrestler that you didn't find out who that new wrestler was till 10 weeks later. Now they announce him on Monday, and he might be there on Thursday.
Yeah, but you know
– I know that's a different story completely. But
It is, but that's something that maybe we'll see if that formula still works today that we're talking about, because we haven't – there's another company that's ran – you know, has the money to compete – right. WWE or be a competitor, we'll see. But if AEW, that's what they're doing right now. They're only going to do four or five shows a year. I mean, I'm sure. I mean, they're going to do their weekly television and all that. Don't get me wrong. But I'm talking about their pay per views shows. They're double or nothings. They're all outs. They're whatever this
Fighter Fest. The Fight for the Fallen's next month. I mean, it seems like they're doing the
well,
same thing.
Well, this is just, they're just build. They have to build their product.
But they're showing them live, though. I think that's pretty cool too. Yeah. The only time WWE showed a live pay per view was a 1990 the very first King of the Ring was live on USA Network.
So they're doing not as many shows as far as pay per views, and I think that's their philosophy. At least that's when what's his name was on the
Tony
owner,
Khan.
Tony Khan was on Steve Austin's show. That's what he kind of said. So
they may be doing it more frequently now because they don't have any TV. Maybe right, once TV right. starts, they'll slow it down.
TV's going to be their main focus, and they'll do big shows every
season. I got you.
And maybe that'll be, okay, this formula work? And I do think that formula – I do think AEW is – what people don't realize, they have a buzz. The reason why it's going to succeed right off the bat is because it's different, and it's something else compared to what they've always getting. Wrestling fan – if you're a true hard wrestling fan, you're going to watch it regardless. Mm-hmm. You love wrestling.
Yep.
You're going to watch it. It's – are they going to bring in the people that we lost from the 90s when we used to have 9 million watching Monday Night TVs and now we're at 2? Is those fans going to come back? Or are we going to get new fans? That's the key. That's what's going to really show right. you what organization is over and wrestling is not. Because if you're a wrestling fan, you're watching everything anyways. You don't care. Or are they going to pull the just WWE fans away that just watch nothing but WWE, have no idea what's going on with Impact, if no idea what's going on with ROH, they're just WWE guys. Are they going to pull them now? Oh, what's this guy? He looks like he used to be on WWE TV. Oh, this guy used to be on WWE TV. Are they going to pull those guys? Pull those fans too. That's also the key.
The big jump that, in my opinion, by WWE naming Heyman and Bischoff, and like I said, I don't think it was a direct counter action to what to them coming out, but they have the jump now. If the true thing is, oh, we're going to get these guys because they missed the segments and the rest, this and that. WWE can get that back before they even lose it because I think they start the week before AEW does on TV. So they have a chance to right these wrongs that the rumors are the reasons why that people are not going to watch WWE anymore once AEW comes on. Heyman and Bischoff at the helms, that's not going to be the case. Everybody's going to be watching everything instead of the hopefuls that were like, oh, AEW is going to kill WWE and put it in. No, that's not going to happen. Not now.
It's not going to happen.
So are they not starting right away?
They are.
They are starting right away. Okay, they start this week. AEW starts the next week?
No, in October.
No, October.
I'm sorry.
Fox.
I should have been more clear. AEW's television program starts the week after
Fox.
SmackDown.
Move to Fox.
Gotcha.
Or the other way. No. AEW starts on Tuesday of that week.
They haven't announced the day of the week yet.
Yeah, they have.
They didn't.
Tuesday Night Dynamite. It's already. Need to read more. You don't read enough. But it starts on that Tuesday, and SmackDown on Fox starts that Friday.
Okay. So, in the whole, you know, I know this is a Fox move. Don't get me wrong.
I hate the name Tuesday Night Dynamite, by the way. That's cheesy. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, Nitro Dynamite. All right. Anyways. I'm just.
a little bit of a knockoff, maybe.
It's on TNT. I do think that, you know, this, while they're putting them in now, you know, Bischoff and Payman, it's better to do it now and build up and get something going until.
Agreed.
You know, the fall starts, because, you know, why not? We'll let them hold off until then and put them in. No. You got to let them get in there and let them, you know, figure out the chemistry with everybody and the authority and whatever they got to do. And I guess that was a little pun, authority.
Yeah.
But
you know what? Why that excites me? Because Heyman, and I don't want to get – I know we've got plenty of other stuff to talk about. But the last few years, you see him in all the specials they do on the WWE Network, where he's talking to Alexa or like during their 365s or 24/7s, and telling them how much he appreciates what those people. Was it the one on AJ or was it Kevin? It was either AJ or Kevin's 365. He went back there and was like, "Man, it's been a real honor for you to fight Brock these last few." It had to have been AJ.
Well, here's the thing.
And you can tell that he's going to appreciate the. Hopefully, he appreciates those guys, and we don't just see whoever Vince likes being pushed to the top. Hopefully, we can see a whole bunch of cream rising to the top.
Well, here's the thing that most of the casual fans don't understand. They think Paul Heyman is just the guy with Brock Lesnar right now. You don't realize he's there on Raw and SmackDown every week in production, helping with writing, helping with creative. He's there.
Right.
I see him there. He's there. He's writing. So, like, he's part of that, too. So, he's really kind of – he's already kind of in the groove. The one that's interesting the most is Eric Bischoff, who hasn't been in that new world for a long time. Yes, he may know what's going on TV production-wise. He may have been there before and all this stuff. But he's really coming in completely cold compared to Heyman's got the little upper hand because he kind of knows how the system works. Now – could that be a thing where Raw sticks more to what you're seeing and then SmackDown becomes completely different?
I think so.
That's possibility. But like I said, regardless, I do think both need to be completely different, and I hope they look, feel, smell different.
You know? Smell different.
As long as David Arquette don't end up the WWE champion on SmackDown, I'm fine with it.
Well, that wasn't a Bischoff or a Heyman thing.
Well, no, that was a Bischoff thing. Bischoff was... Was there when that happened?
No, it wasn't. He wasn't technically not there.
Was that a Russo call?
That was a Russo.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
But I love Russo, so I'm not going to knock Russo.
Well, you didn't let me finish. I hope we can see David Arquette as the WWE champion sometime in the future.
That's okay. Russo's a friend of the show. All right. So
love Russo.
We love Russo. All right. On to the next. Okay. So, of course, we know OVW's affiliate with Impact Wrestling, and we love what's going on with Impact. But there's a few people that have left Impact recently, and it was like, where are they going to go? Where are they going to land? What's going to happen? And it just so happens that this week, the NWA announced, or you saw, I guess Eli Drake showed up at NWA, and that now he's now there, which is shocking because I thought maybe he might AEW it, in my opinion. But there's nothing wrong with NWA. It's a great organization. Of course.
No, he got a huge pop because Nick Aldis came out to announce that at ROH Best in the World that Eli Drake was his mystery opponent. So they did the whole thing where I've got a mystery opponent and here he is right now, and then he come out and the roof just was blown off the place.
Yeah, it was.
Because that was the least out of all the places, that would have been the place I'd have put. If we were guessing an order, I would have had them in last place.
And of course, the NBA is an organization that travels and does different things, so it's not like they're...
And no disrespect. I mean, that would have been the place I would have said, okay, they've got the least odds of landing him.
And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a certain contract where he can still work and do stuff for...
Well, obviously, if he's wrestling at ROH, he's got some sort of flexibility in his claws. But yeah. I loved it.
He's not at WWE. If he signed there, he can't work anywhere else. So the other organizations allow guys to work and make a living in other places too. So
I am a little disappointed. I was hoping to see him at either AEW or WWE.
Yeah, AEW could be still there.
I'll say my only bummer is with him leaving Impact. So this is actually something that I don't think anybody knows. I'll go ahead and give you all the exclusive scoop. But it was actually back in the Nightmare Rumble for OVW this year. I don't know if you remember, we announced there was going to be a former world champion in the match. Well, it didn't actually happen. It was supposed to be Eli Drake.
Yeah.
Now, this is one of the things that is difficult with having, you know, regulations and a commission. He was literally en route to the show, and actually, I'll put the heat on myself. I said, well, guys, is he licensed? And sure enough, he actually was not licensed, so we couldn't have him on the show. And I was really hoping we were going to be able to reschedule having Eli Drake in the Davis Arena, but perhaps it'll still happen. But I was a little bit bummed out because I think he's a great talent, and I think the OVW fans would have loved to see him. But I think it's great for the NWA. I think it's great for Eli Drake, and you know, I'm excited to see what he's going to do. And I think, you know, the future, you know, there's still a lot of possibilities. He may end up in AEW or WWE, and
I think
he's a great talent, and I think he'll end up in the spotlight.
And for the record, he is licensed in Kentucky now. So
yes. Oh, great. Well, now let's get him. Eli, if you're listening.
You know how I know? Because when I was checking to see if my license was my health, as you like to call it, my ticket taker license was valid. I was checking it out because the week before that, talking about anything could happen at Davis Arena, I walk in and there's Eddie Edwards. There's Moose. There's Eli Drake. Holy crap.
Right.
Like, I almost marked out and got on my Twitter and started telling everybody, but then the guy, the actual ticket taker was like, don't tell anybody, because I was like, what are these guys doing here? And because he knows who I am. He's like, don't put anything out because we're not sure if we're allowed to advertise them being here or not. So,
we can't. Right. We can't. And so, that's the thing that I wanted to say, too. You know, even though we're pushing for more regulation, it is sometimes a headache, and it's stuff you have to deal with. You know, you got to stay on top of it. So, I mean, it's not like it's an advantage for us to have those regulations. Just, you know, we think that, you know, ultimately for the betterment of our sport that we love professional wrestling, it's for the best. But
and there's certain little things like that about advertising. You got to be special when you. That's why
they have to be licensed. Even if it's just as an event staff license, in order to advertise anyone in a professional wrestling show, they have to be licensed with the state of Kentucky.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I do now, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, and we've ran into a few issues with a couple where we've had to like rework the show because of someone can't do something,
and we've been fined. Yeah. You know, and not just one time, you know, so it's not like, you know, we're not getting any big advantage, you know, it affects us too.
Yeah, absolutely. But he was in super nice guy because he was there and we're talking and everything to him, and it looked like he was going to be right. There was a program working with him, and it didn't work out because of the whole license thing,
right.
The commission, which was, like I said, it's good, but in times like that, it's like frustrating. But you work with the system, you work together as a team, and you move on, and so on and so forth. Speaking of moving on, so on and so forth. Speaking of Impact, we had a there's a nice little build up we're having right now with kind of a intergender type of. You know, thing.
Oddly enough, the reason why Eli Drake, one of the reasons he left Impact is because, and this, I don't know who these reports, speculations are that this program was actually pitched to Eli, and they told him that she was going to defeat him on his way out of the company. And he was like, that's not good for my brand. He didn't feel comfortable doing it anyway. He did talk in an interview, I think it might have been with Meltzer, where he was like, I don't even like wrestling men that are 100 pounds lighter than me. It doesn't look realistic, so I didn't think it would be a good look for me to fight a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, I've got my own thoughts on that. I don't think like men should ever put, even in a safe place. But there are people who like that. I did enjoy it in Lucha Underground. It was something different. They did that there. But with that being said, Sammy and Tessa are headed for a war, and if you know anything about, which we do in OVW, know about Sammy Callahan and OVE, she picked the fight with the wrong people, in my opinion.
It's going to be – it's interesting build-up they're doing, and I mean, they're not holding back on this either. I mean, when I saw the little thing this week, I was like, wow, they're not definitely holding back. There's going to be a nice little
they're building it the right way, like we talked earlier. We missed the slow builds, and we don't need to be teased of something on Monday. That's kind of what I – not to get off track, but to get off track real quick, the Firefly Funhouse stuff. Like, we expected them to show that first – video on Monday, and then 3 weeks later have him appear. That was like 3 months ago almost. We haven't seen him yet. I mean, we'll see him soon, I hope. Seen Sister Abigail like around the corner at Raw the other night. They showed her on TV, but they didn't show Bray at that moment. But this to get the train back on the track, the slow build, I love it. I'm an old school traditional wrestling fan. I don't need things to be settled in 4 weeks in a cage. I like to see them settled over time, the back and the forth and everything in between.
Well, slow build is also there's a slow build not only in a feud but also in a match too. I mean, there's many different things you can do with it.
You're right.
But slow build is always better once you exceed at what you're going to and you get it, there's nowhere to go. Like if you get the cage match in 4 weeks and it should be a 3 month feud ending in a cage match, it's like, well, where do we go from here? There's nowhere to go. You move on to the next, and then it kind of makes fans get in the whole mindset of, oh, well, this ain't going to be very long. This is nothing. This is going to be over, and he's going to move on, and this person's going to move on. And we have an attitude in WWE for sure.
You know something that was fast tracked that absolutely just grinded my gears? It was KO joining the New Day, and then a week later turning on Kofi and them.
Well, that was supposed to be longer.
That could have been great.
That was supposed to be longer, but the injury caused it to happen sooner. But that was supposed
that
to be longer.
That could have been amazing.
But they could have. They also could have still stretched that out.
Tell me, only because I'm aware of what you're talking about when Kevin Owens joined the New Day, but there was an injury that caused that to get shotgunned. I didn't know what happened with that.
It was an injury with Daniel Bryan. Now he came back, but he couldn't.
Okay, gotcha.
He couldn't wrestle that following pay per view or whatever. He was on the shelf for a couple weeks, and so that's what caused them to. Okay, we can't. We got to move it. We got to go ahead and move on to Kevin Owens.
Him and Kofi, they fought at that next pay per view, and that was supposed to be Kofi and Daniel Bryan. Correct.
Yeah, it was supposed to be Kofi and Daniel Bryan, and then. It was going to move to KO, but it was going to move to KO. Was going to look like he was helping, and then all of a sudden turn.
If KO had been in there, for a month, 2 months, and really solidified that, and then
that would have been awesome.
Because they even made a shirt.
Not KO, Big O. Remember
Big O? That's
Big
right.
Big O. Well, because they even made a shirt come, and then next thing it got released, and then it came away, got taken down because now you can't sell it because nobody wants to buy the shirt.
Now is that the first time Big O has been around in professional wrestling?
I think so. I think.
Now it was a finishing move actually from I don't know if you remember Atlas DeBone.
Yep.
Back in OVW, he did the Big O because he said all the women in the crowd want to see the Big O. It was really just a big splash.
He had the real curly, poofy hair, right?
That's right.
And then he did. He actually went to WWE.
He did,
didn't he?
And that's unfortunately was one of those times where they said, "Hey, that character works great. We're going to change it up completely and see if it works for you."
they
sure enough, it
did.
And then a month later, he was gone.
Yeah, shame. I remember good old Atlas.
Yeah, they turned him into Ricky Ortiz as just kind of a straight up wrestler versus the big haired Atlas DeBone. It was a shame. I think he had a lot of talent. I don't know what he's doing now, but.
I was at a show this weekend talking to former WWE talent Simon Grimm, and he talked about a lot of what gimmicks and how different things. He goes, you want to be a wrestler, you want to do things. He goes, but sometimes just being a wrestler ain't gonna work. You've got to do something crazy. Even though we've talked about where Moxley talked about he didn't like Dean Ambrose, he hated the Dean Ambrose character. You're thinking. You're one of the top people in the company. What are you doing? It didn't matter. He didn't like it. He didn't like doing that role. But he was stuck in that gimmick or stuck in that role, and he had to do what he had to do.
I didn't like his character either.
Yeah. But then you had, even him, he was mentioning, he goes, but honestly, he goes, the character was working. He goes, but I didn't like my character being there either. But that's what they want it. That's what they presented. He goes, he went with it. And I'm sure, you know, Nick Dinsmore, I'm sure he wasn't happy being Eugene, oh, but hey.
Actually, that is incorrect.
Oh, he was happy?
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, you have a character that, you know, I mean, I'm sure he probably wasn't thrilled, but you embrace the character, and, I mean, he still wrestles as Eugene.
Right, but I think I think when he came in, I don't think he was like, well, this is
that's probably not how he imagined, but he had the right attitude about it.
He absolutely had the right attitude. Yeah, you're right about that. He had the right attitude. He went on with it, and it became a great career. You're right. He still wrestles as Eugene, and it's great. I mean, it's his
easy matches.
He's easy, right? And what I like about his character too is honestly, like, it was funny. He was a big fan, and he ended up like copying the moves, but he did it in a way where it wasn't a bad thing. You know, it's like, you just stole my move.
Well, I think any fan can relate to, you know, that childlike wonderment of the superstars in the ring and wanting to emulate them and do their moves. And I think it was easy to live through him, and I think that's why it works so well.
Yeah.
I remember my first interaction with Nick was I was 19 years old, and the Davis Arena was over in Indiana, and Danny used to rent it out on the weekends.
Right, because no regulations in Indiana.
Correct. So for $50, you got 2 hours. So me and my buddies would rent it out. I don't know if everybody out there knows what a boom box is, but we would take our boom box up there with the CDs. We'd throw all the wrestlers' theme music in it, and we put on our own show. We didn't do anything like throw each other out of the ring. We stayed in the ring. We weren't like crazy unprofessional, like, but we had a blast.
Just unprofessional in the ring.
Yeah, exactly. We'd eat pizza, listen to music, stay out of trouble, and have a great time. And the first night we went up there, Nick was the one that let us in the doors. And he actually came, you know, we let him have pizza. We all talked and stuff. And he told us about his passion and his dreams of becoming a professional wrestler. I knew it that day. I knew he was going to make it in some way, shape, or form, because he couldn't have been any older than 17, 18 then at that point, because I believe I was a couple years older than him. And you could just tell, man. Some people, you could just tell.
Yeah, he was always. I mean, when we talked about greatest tag teams, I put him and Rob as one of my favorite tag teams of all time, because they were just phenomenal together. But yeah, Nick was he still is a phenomenal athlete, and just has that charisma. Has, you know, and believe it or not, I mean, most people don't realize this, but he's a great trainer too.
Oh,
you know, he trained many times at the beginners class and stuff at OVW for years, and then he went on, and NXT had him doing their stuff for years. Hey, speaking of him, when we talked earlier about Eric Bischoff, since Eric Bischoff is now in a row, would he bring his nephew back on TV?
Oh, God. I forgot he was his nephew. That's
he
right.
He was his nephew, yeah. So,
could that work on today's television?
Why not? Why wouldn't Eugene work?
I don't know. People are just so overly critical about – we live in – this day and age, we live in a society full of, in my opinion, everything's offensive. I was going to say wussies, but I mean, man, I don't – everybody's offended by everything. I'm just not sure, because a lot of people thought at first when Eugene debuted that he was – I'm trying to think of the correct way to say this that maybe he had special needs. A lot of people thought he was like a special needs wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And work like that is not going to work, especially if he's not actually special needs. People would tear that apart, in my opinion. And I know he's not. I mean, you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, yeah.
It's definitely a more delicate day and age now.
Yeah,
it is.
Early in the PC era.
But I think what would work today, though, is that he would come back as a legend or as a, you know, or not a Hall of Famer, but, you know, somebody who's been around before. So it's not like a brand new character. It's somebody that you've seen before. So I think it could
still
work.
See it, dude. I see people get on Twitter every day and give an opinion like, man, it sure is pretty outside today. And people are like, you're the stupidest person ever. You think it's pretty outside? Why don't you just say that? Don't say pretty. You're judging people's. You're judging looks.
That's the problem with social media. It's just people just doing it.
It's a toilet bowl, really.
Yeah, it's people just doing it just to be doing it. And you know, they some complain just you know, no matter what.
Complain to complain. But yeah, back to what we're talking about. Yeah, Nick, great guy. I've only been wrong about one person in my whole life that I've talked to and was like, man, that guy's going to make it or he's not going to make it. And that was back in '95. When I was on the University of Louisville football team, we had a guy from Miami, because Coach Snellenberger was from Miami. Had a couple guys visiting from Miami. One of them's name was Dwayne Johnson. And we worked out that whole summer together, me and him and a couple of the other guys, and showed him around. And he's like, hey, I'm going to get a tryout with whatever it was called. Maybe it was USWA. They changed that name a couple times growing up. Is that you should come out and watch. Okay, cool. So a couple months later, we went out and watched him when he got on the main card, and he come up to us afterwards. He's like, man, they just told me I'm going to debut at Survivor Series next week. And I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. I know what that is. And he walked away. I was like, yeah, we'll never see him again. I was wrong. I was way wrong.
Going back to Dinsmore, I was really hoping the ultimate story arc was going to be at the peak of his popularity as Eugene, as he was going to pull the swerve that it was a ruse all along,
yes,
and that he was just trying to, you know, pull at people's heartstrings so he could get those opportunities and get the championship.
Oh, see, that would have been great. And who knows?
That, and that definitely
been...
wouldn't work now. They'd be like, oh, they're making fun of people with issues and this and that. But wrestling's a complete... Here's what I'll say to the counter on that. You can get away with stuff in wrestling that you can't get away with in real life.
That's so true. That absolutely 100% true.
Vince McMahon once dropped, a very...
offensive.
What's good, my friend?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Only he didn't say friend.
And he's still the owner of said company, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And then what's even great about it is that when everybody compares about it, they compare Booker T... also saying it to Hulk Hogan. It's like two different ways.
I'm coming for you, sucker.
two complete different ways.
To be fair, social media wasn't around for either of those incidents, or it would have been on fire. The whole internet would have been shut down.
Well, but Vince goes on.
For Booker T, though, that I think would have skyrocketed him much faster.
Yeah, that's true.
It would have gotten popular versus Vince. You know, they might have just had to take a step back from the company.
Well, and definitely today. I mean, sure enough, Hogan comes out with something he said 10 years before that. And they, right. I think it was the whole, when they got brought back up again, it's like, wait a minute, you're getting rid of Hogan, but you're not getting rid of your owner? And he said the word, too.
We couldn't complain about this 10 years ago when Twitter was in its infancy. We're going to complain about it now.
But once again, the difference between Hogan's version saying that he said it on a private conversation where Vince McMahon was in character. I mean,
correct.
Quotation marks. So, you know, that's, you know, it is what it is. Now one thing I've been loving though about what WWE stars have done, and we talked about social media earlier about how if it was around then or not. But one thing I like about social media now is the fact that I like how Seth Rollins can post something, and then someone like Will Ospreay, that's not even in the WWE, can post something, and they can interact and go back and forth and have this Twitter feud, and it becomes great. But then you see someone like Becky Lynch can do it with internally with somebody at WWE as well. But just how they can use Twitter at a different way of promoting and building up.
They can further their character via social media also.
So what is your take on what's going on with this Twitter feud between Seth and Will?
I loved it. For me, I didn't know it was still going on, but to be fair, I was out of town all day yesterday with no signal on a lake.
I was going
to
say, Twitter.
Happily.
I was going to say, Twitter does go everywhere. So
I didn't know that. I thought it stopped when I stopped. I wasn't aware of that. But no, so I didn't see anything that happened yesterday, if anything happened yesterday. But I love it. It's like, that would be like back in the day when it was WCW versus WWF, Raw versus Nitro, and seeing DX tweet Hogan and Hall and Nash. That would have been awesome to see. So for me to, and maybe it's not on that same level, but I love to see two people that wouldn't normally talk to each other be able to talk to each other and roast each other. That's my, I love humor. I love jokes. We love jokes.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I've been notified. I don't know if we're allowed to tell anybody, but he told me I'm an honorary mobile homer.
I hear now. I'm glad to declare it. I'm proud.
I'm sure you're going to edit this out like you do the other breaking news that I break.
But actually, speaking of mobile homers, I might be an honorary member too as a referee because this past week, people at OVW Television got to see the mobile homers in action after the TV taping,
right?
And
that's why I got to be there live.
You got to be there live, and then so just so happens that Moonshine got passed around, and me as a ref, I had to drink it too. But it was some strong stuff. I will tell you that. And but I think we all part of the whole show. I'm part of the Mobile Homers too at that moment.
I mean, we all need a Harvey Whippleman.
Hey, I'll take it. Whatever works.
Got to start somewhere, right?
Got to start somewhere. No, but yeah, it's and the other Twitter feud that's been going on has been Becky and Beth and Edge. Beth Phoenix and Edge. That's been interesting. And of course, Seth, I think, has gotten into it once or twice, but he's kind of, it's more of a Becky leading.
I was going to say, I think Becky stoned Seth in there a couple times. I've not seen Seth actually, I'm not saying he has, I haven't seen Seth respond to that thread. But that's been awesome because Edge and Beth have pulled no punches. They've not held back at all. But
no.
I don't know if anybody can go one-on-one with Becky Lynch on Twitter. She's got some knockout punches.
Yeah, she
is the man on Twitter.
She's the man. Yeah, she is the man. She's
a sharp tack for sure.
Yeah. I love when I see that going, that happening, because I think it's better. But you're right, as you mentioned, it extends your character. It because you only see a percentage of it on TV,
right?
And it allows you to see them in another aspect of it. And
Twitter's forever, brother.
Right?
You can be the most electrifying man on Twitter 24 hours a day. And you may only get 5 minutes on the Raw pre-show.
You know, if you use that platform right, you can get over. And there's a clear example of that, who's someone who used the platform of YouTube and Twitter and social media back and got over and is still with the company today and still in a good role, and that's our friend, well, you know it, Zack Ryder. And it's just that shows you how that platform works and can take you to another level.
It resurrected Matt Hardy's career.
Yep.
YouTube and social media did.
Yeah, it broke him, actually. Or did it woke him?
No, it broke him, and then he woke up a couple months, a year later he woke up. But yeah, it definitely broke him. But that's an example. That's a great example, because that, and I've always
heard about Matt Hardy on Facebook. He was poking. Sorry, I just low hanging fruit. It was there, and I grabbed it.
I do appreciate it, even though I don't appreciate it.
Yeah,
it was pretty bad.
Did you hear about Matt Hardy at the CVS?
No, I did not.
He was smoking.
Oh,
okay. Let's end. This is going to end badly.
Hey, do you know what happened with Matt? You know if Matt Hardy was on this podcast with us right now?
Was he joking?
He'd be joking.
Yeah. You know what, Daniel?
There you go. Got it.
Everybody gets one.
So, yeah, just it's social media is important. I mean, look at R-Truth. First of all, I got to say, I think he's one of the greatest talents WWE's had for over the years, and he's very underutilized.
Correct.
Very. But I do think that he's in the right role he is in right now, because he has made that 24/7 title what it is.
Oh, legit. The 96-28 title?
The European Championship, whatever you want to call it. He's made that because of what he's done on social media, the fact that he took Old Town Road and did a parody of it, the fact that he, you know, is constantly running. Sam, he's doing videos where he's like running with the title and he's talking about it and he's trying to hide, and just it is hilarious what he's doing. And he's extending that character. So then when you see him on TV, you only see him for a couple of minutes, but he's doing more outside of the TV. Like you were saying, he gets 5 minutes on TV. And then you have forever online, and everybody's retweeting, sharing.
And it's not even just R-Truth that it's helping to, expand and tell stories with. I think that Greg Maverick has really kind of developed more character through it, as well as Carmella, and, you know, Jinder Mahal's been involved in there a little bit. I think it's helping to develop other side characters, too, that are, you know, trying to go after that championship.
Exactly.
I think there's a lot of irony in the fact, though, that the guys that they're putting with him to work are also guys that are underutilized, like Cedric Alexander, EC3, like you said, Drake Maverick.
I love Spud.
Yes.
Yeah.
EC3 definitely should have a bigger – he should be doing more than he's doing right now. Cedric Alexander is probably pound for pound one of the top 10 guys in the world today. And they just I'm not asking for a fourth hour of Raw, for the love of God. I don't want that. But there's got to be a better way to utilize everybody. I mean, you've got the 205 Live. Who says that has to be strictly rename the show? It doesn't have to be just for people who are 205 pounds or less. Just I know it's easier said than done, and I know that probably y'all run into that problem at OVW too, like trying to get everybody that deserves to be on the card. But
I'll say it's very interesting. There's some weeks that I wish we had, you know, 2 hours. There's other weeks that it's like, you know, hard to fill the whole. It just depends on, you know, what's going on at the time.
I was gonna say, are there times when you got the card finalized and you look over here and notice that somebody's not on and you're like,
yep,
how are we gonna leave that guy off?
It happens all the time. Okay. Well, it leaving people off, but yeah, a lot of times we're like, okay, good, we got a good show. Oh, we forgot about this storyline. We still got. Yeah, it's yeah. Okay. It happens.
Yeah, and that's the, you know, writing the and that's where you have to be creative on how to interject them into something or how to put them in or have a, you know, that's why you might see even on OVW television, but you may see on WWE for sure. There's this little backstage segment. Why don't they just do a backstage segment? Well, that was what they get the story going, whatever. I mean, think about it. WWE literally about 2 years ago flew in Jericho, paid for him. I probably made whatever his fee is to show up for a Raw 25 years or whatever it was. Is that what it was? Raw? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Shows up for that. All they do is put him in a backstage segment with Elias walking. And that was it. He didn't go in the crowd. He didn't even come out later for a dark match. Nothing. You paid a guy for 5 minutes of that. Now he's Jericho. I get it. But it's like, even then, if somebody they brought in, it's probably one of those things where they go, oh, crap, we're bringing in Jericho. We forgot to add him in the show. And they threw him in yeah. that yeah. spot. That's probably what happened. And he got paid the same as if he was there, or rather he wouldn't have a match.
He didn't care one bit.
I'll take that payday. Yeah, he didn't care. He'll say it. He even said it on his podcast. He goes, they put me there. Okay. If they put me in the mat, okay. He'll do whatever he's going to do because his money's the same amount. That was just an easier job for him. But that's kind of how it works out sometimes is that you forget about this or that. And that could be happening a lot of times in WWE. But I think a lot of times, too, they have a mindset of where they're going to be. And maybe we'll see a change in this whole, you know, new leadership of Raw and SmackDown. Maybe. But they have an idea of where they're going. And then sometimes Vince just says, nope, I'm done, and moves on. And you don't get the finish you wanted to get.
You wonder how many times there's like a 10-star or a five, let's go five. That's normally the measurement
a five
that
star.
They use. Yeah, 5-star. Wonder how many times there's been a 5-star show on the table and Vince has come in at the last second and just been like, I'd rather do a 1-star show. I mean, not that mind frame, but he put on a much inferior show just because the 5-star show it didn't go with what his vision was. I mean, that'd be interesting to be a fly on the wall in those meetings and be like, oh, man, that would have been – let's do this. That's awesome. Oh, no, let's just have somebody kicked in the testicles instead. You know,
I've heard many, many times said, and I've been a lot, and talking with people who's also been there, sometimes Vince just – he likes something, it's going to pop him, and he'll put it on TV and change it just because he likes it. But at the same time – it's his company.
Right.
It's his money.
He can do what he
wants
to do.
He can do that if he wants to. Yeah. It's, you know, we as fans get upset, but it is what it is on that aspect of it.
And that happens, just to be fair, in all wrestling companies. I mean, I've heard these old guys, you know, talk about back in the territory days, you know, that, you know, a lot of times whoever was running the territory, they didn't always agree with, but he's the boss, he's paying, so you do it anyway.
Right, yeah, exactly. So you're always going to have things like that. I think that the aspect of it that is having where you can – there's going to be times where you're going to get to where, yeah, we're going to have to do this. I don't want to do it. But there should be a payoff where, hey, guess what? This is something you like and we're going to get to do it. And the promoter or whatever may say, I don't really care for it, but you know what? I trust your judgment. Let's go with that and let's see if it works or not. And I think it kind of goes back and forth sometimes with certain territory promotions. Now, Vince may not, but certain other ones it does. But one of the things I will say from a personal standpoint, what I've seen a show being – presented a different way, rehearsed and everything, and then when the show actually was done, things got scrapped and changed, and the show was completely different. And that was a SmackDown show about a month or so ago. There was a lot more to the table that I thought would have made it a better show, and then some of these stars didn't even show up or wouldn't even use on the show, but they were there. And so why they changed it, why they went, who knows, but somehow production changed their mind and scrapped a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, well, I think that would have been a better show. But was the show bad in the first place? I don't know. But it's one of those things that, you know, there's a reason why they do it, and they do it for that. So, I guess we'll wrap this up here and kind of.
But I don't want to. I want to talk. We have great chemistry, us three together. Let's just talk forever.
So should he replace JK for officially?
Talk forever.
Who?
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even notice he wasn't here.
No, he's not here.
Shout out to you, JK. Grinding.
Grinding? Is that
what you said? I guess that's what he's doing. Tinder? I don't know.
I don't think he's grinding. Or tindering. Anyway, so
oh boy.
Well, yeah, that's right. He is a boy. So we're talking about just wrestling in general, and this is a good time to be a fan, good time to be in the business, good time to just because you're so compared to what it was. If you look back at 20 years ago, wrestling today, I mean, yes, as much as we complain about a few things we'd like or dislike, whatever, but wrestling today is way better off right now than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's and I believe in 10 years from now, we're going to say, wow, it's way better then just because of the growth of what's going to happen.
I sure hope so.
And, you know, I don't know about you, Ted. I don't know if you feel the same way or not. But I just think it's exciting. And it makes it think, wow, this is even if we step away from the business is going to still be around. It's still going to be kicking and be top and better than what it is compared to today.
Absolutely. I think right now we're kind of seeing the start of a resurgence, and I think we're not even close to the peak yet. I mean, we're seeing new companies pop up. People are getting excited about wrestling again. People, wrestlers that fans thought wouldn't get opportunities are getting opportunities, and not only, you know, getting, you know, chances with these promotions, but getting the spotlight, getting the ball. I mean, before, you know, some of these guys would get opportunities, but then they were just kind of ate up and tossed out and, mm-hmm. you know, never heard from again. But now they're actually getting an opportunity to shine and be who they are on a, you know, bigger stage. And I think we're in exciting times. I think for sure we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that was the whole reason for having the brand split stuff anyways, to give more people opportunities. But, you know, sometimes that might work, but also having these other organizations and other and as we talked about earlier, good ones and ran rightly and good promotions and doing by the rules and
ran rightly.
Ran rightly. What did I say?
Correctly, you mean?
Well, either way.
I don't think rightly is a word.
I can fit in it. So,
Spencerisms, yeah. Episode 1.
I'm like Jericho. Sometimes you invent stuff.
I just made the list.
He's been on my list for a long time.
So it's ran correctly, ran rightly, whatever you want to say. I think that's the whole point. And there's a lot of companies out there doing it. There's some that are more top than others, but some that are moving in that direction. And I just can't wait to look 10 years from now and look back and go, wow, look where we were in 2019. Look where we are in 2029. That's weird to say. Compared to wrestling, and who knows? I'm assuming at that point we would have Paul Levesque running the shows, but who knows? He says fingers crossed.
I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't say a word.
All right. So, Ted, you got anything you want to say or shout out or plug before we get off here?
Well, of course, check out OVW. Our Facebook page usually has all our latest events. We always do the Saturday Night Special the first Saturday of every month. This coming, I don't know if this is going to air before.
It will. No.
Justin Smooth versus Dustin Jackson for the OVW Heavyweight Championship. We'll also be at the Hardin County Fair in E-Town and at the Rensselaer County Fair mm-hmm. up in Indiana. So we got some great shows coming up. Be sure you check them out.
Awesome. Awesome. And, and of course, with you mentioned OVW, OVWWrestlingNetwork.com. Is that right?
Yeah, OVW Wrestling Network. Yeah, there's two W's. OVW Wrestling Network.com. $4.99. Remember when foot-long subs were $5?
Yes.
Now they're even more expensive. But for the cost of less than a foot long, you can get the OVW Wrestling Network.
You can. And
I love it.
Yeah, and actually, this next month, we're going to have double the content because of a issue with the website. We weren't able to upload as much as we like to this month, so we double content next month. We'll get two seminars. They're going to be put on there, so even if you're involved in wrestling, want to learn more about, you know, the wrestling business, as they say, you can do that. I can't remember if it's going to be, I think, possibly Road Warrior Animal, the seminar he did, and or Sin. It could become one of the other ones too. We did Hurricane Helms as well as Tommy Dreamer. So I'm not quite sure on that, but either way, we'll have two great wrestling seminars on there as well as you know, the pay-per-view shows that we do or the big shows that we do in the weekly television.
I know every so often we're working on, and some content we can't use, but working on getting older content on there too, as far as like the vault.
Yes. So every month we upload a few more retro episodes. So they're actually slowly going backwards.
Yeah.
I think now it goes back to 970, I believe, or we're getting ready to go back to 970. And so each month we're getting a little closer back to the beginning.
Awesome.
Will you make me a promise? Will you promise me that you'll never put any Ricky Chevy content on the OVW network?
I will certainly lobby for that.
Okay, cool.
Well, I mean, it would be the only time people have seen it, probably, if it goes on the network.
I'll never forget how hype he's like, I'm going to be on TV this week. I was like, good, buddy. I'm glad, you know, I was always, when he was a kid, he was the dream chaser. He's like, I always want to do this. And then I saw him get stuck on his way into the ring of the Nightmare Rumble. And I just was like, okay, it's awesome. That's awesome. And then he actually eliminated Rob Terry.
I'm sure he didn't last very long after that.
He didn't.
Yeah.
He didn't. I didn't mean to get out. You know me. I'll talk all day long. Do y'all have any intentions of a app for that?
Eventually, yes. Yeah. Okay. So we do actually have the means for it. Slowly, we've been getting more subscribers. I can't remember the number, but we actually have a certain number. Once we get X amount of subscribers, we will then have enough funding to be able to go to the streaming service. So then you'll be able to cast to your Google Home or your Alexa or what have you.
Yeah. Cool. So that'll be awesome to have the app and go from there. Speaking of apps, you can get us on the Barn Burner Network too, by the way, guys. And so I want to give a shout out to that. All over 113 platforms, but I want to give a shout out to a podcast. The Road Home from Wrestling podcast had me on as a guest this past week. Just go out and check it out. You can get them all on the podcast avenues and listen to the interview. We talk a little bit about this show, refereeing at OVW and just refereeing in general. And we break down about a little bit of what we, you know, kind of what we discuss here about what we see and how people complain online and things like that. So really good interview. So go check that out and shout out to them. And we'll have Andy on one day on the show as a guest or maybe a guest host as well. So that'd be awesome. And of course, we can find us all on the podcast avenues, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, TuneIn Radio app, or just go to ringsidepodcast.com and listen there. Or once again, the Barn Burner app, go there. We're over 114 platforms there. And also,
allaboutsports.com.
Allaboutsports.com. We're on that network as well. So shout out to all those guys we're trying to get it out, get us out there as much as possible in as many different platforms. So you can hear Ringside for sure. And you can get us all on the social media, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Facebook, at Ringside Podcast. Individually on Twitter, I'm at Daniel Spencer.
I'm at Jeremy underscore CSZ.
And then the Man Beast, you're at on Twitter?
On Twitter, it is Ted the Man Beast.
Ted the Man Beast. And every so often, you'll get a nice one-liner.
That's right. Or,
I subscribe to his tweet. Every time he tweets, I get it, so I can get that humor.
Yeah. So that's
knowledge. I soak, unlike you, I actually read things and soak in knowledge.
What says I don't do that? Oh, well, my.
Pretty much every week you do.
Ted, thanks for coming on and being a guest host.
My pleasure, my privilege. Anytime, guys. I love the Ringside Podcast.
Absolutely. And we'll see you on in the future for sure. And we actually just off the air kind of just
worked out the next
appearance. So we can't announce that yet, but it's coming soon. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. As always, in the meantime, in between time.
Until next time, you can catch us ringside.
See ya.
Promise strength. Ain't nobody man enough to feel the pain. And you could be next. You better give respect. 'Cause ain't nobody.